All right. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. We'll pick up where we left off last week. Actually, we're going to back up. We're going to rewind just a little bit and go into those few verses that we concluded with on last week, just because they're connector verses to what we're going to be preaching on tonight. And so I want to pick those up and look at them. And that'll make a bridge for us over into tonight's message. Now, Paul, say the life of the Apostle Paul, he's 2 years now been teaching at the school of Tyrannus. And he's, of course, in Ephesus. This is his third missionary journey. And what we'll see probably next week is that he's actually very much nearing the end of his third missionary journey. It's not going to be long. And the Apostle Paul is going back. You won't believe it. He's going back to Jerusalem. You'd have thought he'd learned his lesson when he left Corinth and went to Jerusalem and got kind of snubbed by the church up there. But he's going back to Jerusalem. We won't cover that tonight. Let's begin our reading this evening in verse 13. The Bible said, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'd help us. Lord, we want to preach your word in the demonstration of the power and the Spirit of God. Would you help us to do that tonight? I pray that you'd touch your people here this evening. God made effort to be here on a Wednesday evening. I pray that you'd touch them and bless them and help them as only you can. We'll thank you and praise you for all it's accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want us to look tonight. I'm preaching this evening on a word that prevails. A word or a book that prevails. And I trust the Lord will help us this evening. Now, I told you I wanted to back up a little bit. We covered last week we covered this exorcism or a botched exorcism. I wanted to back up and get it because, like I said, it's the bridge into what we're preaching tonight. What it shows us in those verses is religion fails. Religion fails. Here's these Jews, they're exorcists. Now, note with me in verse 13, the Bible said that they're vagabond Jews. That word vagabond simply means travelers, nomads. Here are these men that apparently go from place to place to place. And the Bible said they're exorcists. That's their job title. That's all they do. Obviously, not very good at it, amen. But their job title is exorcists. They go where there has been a report of a demon abduction or a demon oppression or somebody that has been inundated with a demon, possessed by a devil. They go and they would have probably said some incants, had maybe some spells that they would have tried to have cast to have got that demon out. But no doubt they heard about a man who was really casting out demons. If you'll recall when we were studying there last week, they were taking those napkins from the Apostle Paul and touching people and healing them. That probably got these men's attention. They thought, my goodness, what kind of spells is he casting? And so they decided that they would use Paul's name and Jesus' name. But something happened when they did that they didn't expect. I imagine they had went into a lot of houses and cast their spells and throwed their branches and said their incants and then told the family that'll be $20, they'll be fine in a day or two. And nothing had really ever happened. They were just pulling a game, see. They were tricksters. And they'd wear out their welcome in maybe one neighborhood. Somebody'd pop up and say, they was down at my house last week, supposed to cast a demon out of my wife, and she's meaner than she ever was. That didn't work. And they, when they'd get finding it out, they'd travel on to another place. Well, they come up with this idea. We'll just use Jesus' name. We'll use Paul's name. Bad idea. Bad idea. Because the name of Jesus gets demons' attention. So when they called on the name of Jesus, they got to finally really encounter a demon. Come up out of that man, said, oh, you've mentioned some names I know. Said, Jesus I know, Paul I know. But scratched his old horny head and said, but who are you? Amen. And said, I don't recognize you. And of course, we preached on it a little last week. He leapt on them, beat them up, throwed them out in the yard, stripped their clothes off of them, made a real example. Now, I do want to mention before we go on in tonight's message, I did want to say something about the reality of demon possession. It's still a reality today. It didn't quit happening in the Bible times. We just started medicating it. We started diagnosing it as different conditions, schizophrenia and all these. And I'm not saying everybody that has been diagnosed schizophrenic is demon possessed. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying some of them that have been diagnosed with mental health issues, actually what they've got is a spiritual health issue. And they've been possessed of a devil. If you don't believe in demon possession, turn your TV on tonight. What's going to happen in Louisville will be must-watch TV. It's going to break everybody's heart. But you're going to see a bunch of demon-possessed people running up and down the streets of Louisville tonight, destroying their own town. Now, why would anybody, unless they're demon-possessed, ever be convinced to destroy their own town? Now, you think about that. They have to be possessed of some kind of devil for them to come up with it in their mind that that's a good idea, that the thing to do would be go out and burn their own city down. It's demon possession. That's what we're seeing across this land. So much anger and hatred, and it comes from a possession of the devil. Now let me say this, saved people can't be possessed of the devil. Because we're possessed of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost and a demon can't live in the same place. But now, how many of you would agree with me tonight that while we cannot be possessed of the devil, we certainly can be oppressed by him? And there, in the day and hour in which we live, there is such a spirit of oppression upon the church. And it's part of this working of the demonic forces. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the demons of hell know that their time's running out. And they're really kicking up sand. Well, there's a few things that we would note about this demon. Number one, I would note that this demon, he was intellectual. He knew Paul. He knew Jesus. He was able to carry on a conversation. He wasn't just some wild brute beast, but he was somebody that could think things through and come up with ideas. And certainly the demonic presence that we have in America tonight is not without some intelligence in that they are able to promote themselves politically. They're able to put forward agendas. Amen. And I'm afraid they're going to be able to take over the greatest nation to ever be on the face of the planet. But they act in these ways. We see that he was intellectual. He was vocal. Let me say this. We see that he was strong. 7 men versus 1. That ought to be easy picking. I mean, even if it's Mike Tyson, 7 men ought to be able to get him down. But 7 men left naked and wounded because of the superior strength that this demon-possessed man had. I've dealt with people doped up on methamphetamine, heroin, different kinds of drugs. A lot of them have supernatural strength. Somebody said, well, it's the drug that causes that. But you know, no doctor can ever explain why somebody that's on a drug has supernatural strength. I'll tell you what I think it is. I believe they're possessed of the devil. And that demon possession gives them supernatural strength. So here we see religion has showed up. Religion has failed. Now, notice the realization of the people in verse 17. Look here. And this was known to all the Jews. Oh, I bet it was. Something like that happens. Words gets around. There's been this bunch rooking and crooking all up and down through Asia Minor. They've showed up at a house, got whooped, thrown out in the yard naked. That's the kind of thing people talks about. And so word began to spread. Notice what happens. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So fear, word begins to spread. And when the word begins to spread, it causes people to be afraid. Oh, can I say this? There's a lot of fear in our day and age, but I believe it's misplaced fear. There's people that are afraid of corona. People are afraid of financial ruin. People that are afraid of all these protests. But what we need in America is a fear of God again. That's what happened to these folks. When they saw what had happened, it caused them to fear God. They said, boy, demons are real. Apparently demons are real. Religion don't work. And Paul had been there 2 years teaching in Tyrannus' school, and the word of God had been spread throughout all of Asia Minor, and they knew about Jesus, and they said, boy, hey, we ought to get our hearts right with God. They got a reverential, the word fear that's used here, it's the word phobos in the Greek. It means a reverential dread or terror. They all got a respect for the Lord, and fear gripped their hearts. Notice what he said. The Bible said, and Jesus was magnified. Greek word magaleno means to make great or esteem highly. Think about the word magnified. When we think about the word magnified, we think about microscope. That's magnification. Takes something that's small and makes it big. But let me tell you another kind of magnification. That's the telescope. That takes something that's big but far away and makes it close. That's the kind of magnification they're talking about here. They started magnifying the name of the Lord. Listen, the Lord's not small and needs to be made big. Oh no, He's plenty big. But sometimes the people, He's far away and He needs to be made close. That's our job as Christians. Magnify Him. Bring Him close. Where people can say, that's what the Christians at Ephesus did. They said the Lord's way out yonder to a lot of people away, away. But through our lives, we're going to bring Him close. We're going to magnify Him by our lives where people can see Him. We'll magnify Him with our lives. And that's what they began to do. When religion fails, listen to this. When religion fails, Jesus is magnified. Amen. So there's the There's religion and its failure. Then there's this realization of the people. And then one of the most amazing things happens that you'll find at any point in Paul's ministry. Really, I think this event at Ephesus was probably the high water mark for Paul in this missionary journey. You know what happened? The whole city got right with God. Well, mostly. We'll look next week. Maybe not all of them. But boy, they went to getting right with God. So we see the repentance of the people. Now look what the people of Ephesus did. They did three things. First, the Bible said, verse 18, they came. And many, many that believed came. You know, real repentance will always cause you to move. People that tell me they've repented, but you never see any change in their direction, I don't have a lot of confidence in that. These men, they didn't just say, we want to get right with God and we want to do right. No, they proved it by coming. Now, where did they come to? It's the most unusual thing. They came, then the Bible tells us that they confessed. Look now, verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed. That word confess, it lets us know they had sin in their life, but they didn't want to keep it there. The problem with Christians these days is people want to say, how much sin can I have and get by? That's their attitude. How much sin can I have and get by? When what their attitude should be is, I can't get by with sin. I want it all gone. I want to confess it all. I want to get it all right. I want to live right, do right, be right, have God in my life. This was the Christians that got saved here at Ephesus. They came and then they confessed. But note now, they completely changed. Look, after they confessed, look what they did. And showed their deeds. That word deeds, it's Greek. I've been looking in my Strong's today. Greek, praxis. The word deeds is praxis in the Greek. It means to make a practice or a mode of action to show forth knowledge. So what these Jews and Greeks did was they said, we've come, we've got right with God, and let us prove it. You watch our lives. Oh, people today, oh, living for God so hard. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I'm doing my best. Bless goodness. Just so hard to live for God. There's a post that's going around on Facebook. I've not read it. Some of y'all may have shared it. I don't know. I just read the first line. I kept on scrolling. First line says, church is hard. I'm thinking, church is hard. Ask Jesus. He died for the church. You think church is hard for you? Jesus marched up Calvary's Hill, bled and died for it. Church ain't hard. Church is my release. Church is my enjoy. I love being in this place. It's the highlight of my life. It's the highlight of my life. But now church is hard, and it should be hard for people that are toting around things that ought to be toting around. And that's the problem in this one foot in the world, one foot in the church society, is it's hard to be satisfied either place. Oh yeah. But we see that these people, they said, look at our lives. That's okay, judge us. We're going to live right. We're going to do right. Now that's old timey, but it's in the Bible. So we'll just live right and do right. So there's the repentance. There's the repentance of the people. But look what happens. There's the ruin of their books. Verse 19, are you with me? Many of them also which used curious arts. Uh-oh, curious arts. That's that hocus pocus stuff. Apparently there's a bunch of them in Ephesus. Maybe even some of them that was coming to church. dabbling in witchcraft. I was reading about it today. This is interesting to me. It's called the Ephesus Letters. What it was is a book of spells and prayers. Just like a devil. Put a book together. It's got spells on one side and prayers on the other. And what it was it was incants. If your wife was having a baby and you wanted the baby to be healthy, you just turned over to the baby incant. And you cast the spell and then you prayed the prayer. You've covered yourself. You've asked the devil to help and the Lord to help. Who else is there to ask to help? You've covered your bases. If somebody was sick, you turned over there to the sick incant and the sick prayer. If you was mad at somebody and you wanted to see them die a horrible death, you turned over there to the get even incant and the get even prayer. So they had that book in Ephesus, and you know, they dabbled in that stuff. Oh, I've tried not to get on Halloween here. We're real close. Real close to it. I'll just say this. Christians have got no business dabbling in curious arts. I ain't got nothing against trick or treat. And I'm not preaching on that. I'm just saying, you better be careful in scooching up to that stuff of the devil. They were dabbling in them curious arts. So curious arts. But what did they do? Well, they got all their books together. They collected their books. I see them showing up. They walk up. They've got that Ephesus letter. That old incant book. They say, we got right with God and all we know is we can't have this no more. Isn't that funny? I don't ever find where Paul ever preached on it, ever told them it's wrong. They knew it's wrong. They got right with God and they got right with God. They said, this book we got, it ain't right. Something about it ain't right. So they had a bonfire. I see them now, they're piling up their books. They got a big fire rolling. Them Ephesians are getting right with God and they're coming with their books and throwing it on the fire, burn another one. Show up, throw another one on the fire, burn that one. And they got a big old fire going. Now the Bible tells us the cost of that thing. 50,000 pieces of silver. I looked it up today. Price of silver right now is out the roof. You know how much that'd be if they were ounce pieces, 1 ounce coins. Which there could have been 2 ounce coins, but if it's 1 ounce coins, Brother Marvin, $1.3 million. $1.3 million worth of books they burnt that night. I'd say that's a big pile of books. I'd say that's a great big pile of books. They're having a book burning. They're getting right with God. The community's getting straightened up. Folks have been saved by the grace of God and it's caused them to ruin their books. They say, we're done with this mess. There ain't nothing to it anyhow. We want to serve the living God. Here's where I wanted to get to preach. While the devil's books is a-burning, look at verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. While the devil's books was burning, there was one book that was reigning. And that was the blessed word of God. The devil's books have been heaped up. The fire has been lit. They're burning. Smoke ascending. And while the devil's books smolder that next day, the Word of God's catching fire in people's hearts. And it's prevailing. There is the Word of God, my friend, that prevails. It's a book that prevails. Note with me two things. I'm preaching this. I'm going to be done. Y'all going to get out early. Number one. It grew. It grew. Now, you tell me about it. What's something got to be to grow? Alive. Hey, Luke said over in Ephesus, the devil's books burned up, the witchcraft cult shrunk, but the Word of God went to growing. Amen. By the way, them two things goes together. When you get the devil's works out of the way, then the Word of God can grow the way that it ought to grow. It's growing. It's getting bigger. It's a spreading. Greatest thing that ever happened to the city of Ephesus. the Word of God began to spread through the town. And we're going to see next week make some people so mad they can't see straight. Matter of fact, all these riots that are going on right now, it's nothing new. We're going to look at it. They're going to have a riot in Ephesus next week. Paul's going to be involved in his own riot. He's going to be involved in a riot. Because the Word of God was spreading and folks is getting saved. And it's hard on some people's pocketbooks. It's growed. Now watch this. Not only did it grow, but look at that last word of verse 20. I love it. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Now, I'm not an English major, but I do know that that word prevailed, in order for something to prevail, that means it's in a fight or a competition with something else. Every house had one of these old Ephesians letters in it, book of spells and prayers. Wasn't nothing to it. Burned it up. You know what came out victorious? That book. It prevailed. It prevailed. The Word of God prevailed. It got bigger and bigger and began to spread. Oh, can I say that? Dare I say it? It's out of Paul's hands now. For 2 years, he's taught, sent out students from the school of Tyrannus. But now, it's bigger than Paul now. The Word of God's growing and prevailing. It's bigger than Paul's ministry. It's soaking up all throughout Ephesus. 2 years Paul's been teaching. School of Tyrannus. I was thinking about him. The look on his face the night the books burned. He's standing up there and here's a line of Ephesians coming with their books in their hands. They're putting their actions where their faith is. Whatever happened to that? It'd be good for us to burn up some things in our lives. Things hadn't ought to be there. They're putting their actions where their faith is. They're burning their books. Don't you know Paul's looking at this and thinking, my goodness. My goodness. Reports are coming in. Oh, well, over yonder on the east side of Ephesus, God really broke out over there. Boy, I tell you, the Word of God been preached. Folks getting help over there. Paul said, boy, my goodness. Made me think of the revival in Wales. If you ever read any of those books. There's a book, if you're a reader and you like to read, you ought to read it sometimes. It's called The Invasion of the Holy Spirit on the Continent of Wales by Evan Roberts. Evan Roberts was the preacher. He's the face. The face of the Welsh revival. But it didn't take long and it got bigger. The Welsh revival got bigger than Evan Roberts. Young man. They said there was nights that Evan Roberts would slip in the back of the church and never make it to the pulpit to preach. God would fall. There'd be hundreds that'd be getting in the altars and getting saved and folks worshiping and shouting. And he'd went on for so many weeks that he was exhausted. And they said an hour into the service, Evan Roberts would sneak out the back door, go back to his apartment, lay down, go to sleep. Sleep 5 or 6 hours. Come back to the service and he's back on the stage and the people never knew he'd left. Still shouting and folks getting saved 5 or 6 hours later. You know why? It's bigger than him. Whole cities had shut down, beer joints would go out of business, bars had shut up. It spread through that continent, places that Evan Roberts never walked. Revival spread. Because the power is not in, it wasn't in Evan Roberts and it wasn't in Paul. It was in that book. It was in that Word. And it was the Word that was magnified. It is the Word that began to spread in Ephesus. And it got bigger than Paul. Boy, wouldn't you like to see a move of God in Yancey County that was bigger than any one person or one church? It's just the Word of God growing and spreading and touching and making a difference. I'll say this, we'll close, I promise. California tonight is absolutely on fire. I know they're getting some of that under control now, but that state's just been burning, along with Washington, Oregon, so many of them western states. Every bit of that started with a little bitty fire. From a lighter, match, cigarette. But it very quickly got bigger than that little fire. Can I say to you tonight that this book, is just as powerful in 2020 as it was in Acts 19. It still has the potential to grow exponentially in our hearts and in our community, in our state, and in our country. And if there is any hope for America, it's in that book. It's in that book. It is the hope of our generation, is that somebody would catch a fire. And I speak to our young people a minute. Not wholesale, but in a lot of ways, older people have made up their minds and kind of done what they're going to be. But if one of you young people could catch a fire for this book, let it grow and burn in your heart, there's no telling how big that fire would get. It would grow exponentially. And before you know it, it'd get bigger than you. That's what we need. We need this thing to spread and it be bigger than us. It's the power of that book. While the devil's books burned, the Word prevailed. There is a book that prevails. Now, we're going to leave Paul tonight. We're done. Leaving Paul. Standing there watching them books smolder. He's getting all of these reports where the Word of God is spreading. Folks are getting help and folks are getting saved in Ephesus. No doubt he's feeling pretty good. Trouble on the horizon. Anytime God does something, boy, the devil, he regroups, reorganizes, and attacks again. You don't think the devil's going to let all of his books get burned up and not go on the offensive, do you? People say, I just don't understand why we got so much trouble. A lot of times trouble comes after something great big's done for God, something good done for God. Boy, the devil really fusses and fights then. We'll see it next week. We're going to have a riot. Ephesus has got a riot coming. And it's because of Paul, because of the Word of God, because they hated him and that book. We'll see it next week. Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us to preach tonight. Lord, we're just trying to study about your Word, about you.